Welcome to Knowledge Cast. This is a look into the world of knowledge management, information management, data management, and everything in between. This is brought to you by Enterprise Knowledge. I'm Zach Wall, founder and CEO of EK. And today we're speaking with Christiane Beasley, Principal of Knowledge Management at Getty Images. Christiane, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Really excited to speak with you. And, you know, this is a cool opportunity to stretch the definition of KM from that digital asset management side and hear some very practical guidance from you on what you do at Getty. So with that, as I always do, I'd love to turn things over to you to define knowledge management in your own words. What is its value? What is it for?
You know, I muddled over this question a lot and preparing for this and thinking through what I was going to say. And I think the definition and the way that I speak to knowledge management really starts with considering my audience and thinking through their exposure and their engagement with knowledge management previously, coming at it from what does someone already know about knowledge management and how can I meet them in the middle there? Obviously, if I'm speaking to a room of KM practitioners, present company included, I'll likely focus my definition on something like communities of practice and building and developing those collaboration opportunities. But really in my day-to-day, the standard definition that I use and something that I need to really hone in on and repeat over and over again is really focusing on that standard boilerplate, finding the right information at the right time. And I see you smiling and nodding there, but I think it's actually a really wonderful way to be able to share a common language around knowledge management. It allows people to understand what the benefit that it will bring to them, how it will impact them, how it's going to help them in their work. So in my daily work and in speaking to my colleagues, especially given that the KM program at Getty Images is so new, that's a definition that I'll fall back on quite frequently.
Excellent. So let's seize on that last point. KM, or the position, is new at Getty. What precipitated its creation?
It really started about a year and a half ago, looking at this new environment of hybrid remote working, being in a global company as well. Ensuring that people who are in all time zones, all regions, have access to accurate information to be able to do their jobs most effectively. So it really came from the leadership perspective and aligning to our leadership principles as well, a focus on being able to have access to that information, which really precipitated the start of our Enterprise Knowledge Management program. And it's really focused in on making sure that we have access to information in that hybrid work environment.
Excellent. A lot of times I listen for some of the indicators that suggest that an organization's KM program is either tech-centric or content-centric. And what I just heard from you, communities of practice and collaboration and supporting hybrid work, suggests to me it's a very people-centric KM program. Is there an element of this that's about finding the right people to support the initiative? Would that be a fair assessment that you're basically saying, I need to find this person that can help me learn to do this or do that? The stuff that used to happen when you'd walk down the hall and scream for help and doesn't happen.
Absolutely. The turning to my colleague that can't happen anymore because I'm not in that office environment because I'm working remotely from home. And that's absolutely part of it. One of the great things about Getty as well, that the tenure of the employee base is rather long. My colleague actually, who just celebrated his 17th Gettyversary. So being able to have access to that tacit knowledge that they've grown and acquired over time and making those connections between colleagues in different departments cross-functionally is really key to building that culture. And it is a meld and a mix of all of those things that you mentioned, the technology, the process, primarily coming at it from that people centricity.
Wonderful. And that's a massive store of knowledge when you have people with that tenure.
Absolutely.
Some of whom are probably nearing retirement. And
Not yet. And I think that's what's lovely about it as well, right? That my colleagues have been and I'm able to benefit from their historic knowledge of the company, how the company has grown over time, and then being able to look at that from a new hire perspective and learn from those experiences, learn to see how the industry has changed and how knowledge management can really impact them.
Wonderful. So let's talk more about that. What does that look like in practice? Because what I'm hearing is I'm a new employee and I want to learn from more tenured employees. I'm working from home and I don't know who to or what to go to for help. I'm trying to do my job and I want to be able to do it most effectively. What are you actually doing to enable those wonderful goals?
So we've started really within our first year in the program and for enterprise knowledge management at taking the pulse of how that experience is going so far and where we have opportunities to grow those connection points and collaborations across departments, across teams, across roles and regions. It's been a lot of information finding, a lot of discovery in the first many months of trying to understand where we can help foster those connections. The second piece of that is really taking those learnings, taking the things that we've heard and reiterated over time and repeated across all roles and seeing if we have a technology solution that can help to enable that or to make that frictionless internally. So looking at our intranet and seeing how we're connecting people to the right information, cross role and region, how we're able to enable them in a project that they're working on because they have access to the most updated contact information or frequently asked questions, anything of that sort, and really coming at it from that person-to-person connection with using the technology to foster further, looking at applications and things that we can do internally to ensure that they'll have access to those stakeholders and to those SMEs.
Great. So you've basically done an assessment. I mean, it sounds like you went through the organization and, you know, we use this kind of traditional language, current state, target state. This is where we are. This is what's working, what's not. This is where we want to be. I'd love for you to share more about how you did that, because I think this is a common challenge for our listeners. They're trying to get their arms around the state of KM within their organization. And it's easy for you to say, yeah, we talked with a bunch of people, but then somebody tries to put it to practice. That's really hard. What was your approach? What was your methodology?
The approach was really coming at it from a framework of not one size will fit all, and the baseline understanding that whatever we put in place will likely need to be modified and tailored to each individual department or team's functional experience. I think that's an important just baseline to come at it from at the start, that no matter the process that we put in place, we'll always likely need to tweak that slightly, which then allows you to have that conversation with those stakeholders, with those colleagues, and say, I understand that you've been doing things for a long time in a particular way, and I want to hear how that's going for you. Most tangibly, I think a lot of my beginning experience at the company was taking those times to do those one-on-one conversations, to do those discovery sessions, to do those deep dives, either one-on-one or with teams, to help me understand what they do and to help me as well understand how I can help them in those situations. A lot of note-taking, a lot of findings, a lot of gathering and compiling the evidence, and then stringing those things together in a framework that shows us visually, as a visual company, how we are coming together and where we have opportunities to grow in that experience to really cut down on that friction that may be experienced. So I really taken that approach of spending a lot of time with people, and that's tangibly speaking, a lot of one-on-ones, a lot of meetings, a lot of conversation, taking those notes and crafting them into a narrative that is, this is how enterprise knowledge management can help at Getty Images. And here is how you as the individual who I'm speaking to or the team that I'm speaking with can benefit from that and what might need to change as part of that as well.
First of all, I gotta take a pause here and say, every time you say enterprise knowledge management, my heart warms a little bit. It validates the naming of my company, I guess.
Absolutely. We refer to it internally as EKM. So
all right.
We'll keep reiterating EK and EKM in our shared conversation today.
I appreciate it, Christiana. Every time you do that, little KM angel gets its wings.
That's right.
Now, you're hitting on a key point here, and I really like this. You're talking about the transition from what should be standardized within the organization at the enterprise level to what can be tweaked, what should be customized. And I think this is a line a lot of folks struggle with, because, of course, KM gets value out of standardization. Taxonomy, ontology, content types, these are standards that the more they're the same throughout the organization, the easier, in theory, things are. But it's so easy for individual groups or divisions to say, no, we're completely different. We need to break your process. How did you find that line? How did you find when the tweaks can and should occur?
I will say, I think it's an ongoing conversation, right? The line is sometimes defined and agreed upon, and then you go back and you iterate and you still hear that refrain of, I still need to tweak this and I still need to customize this. What we've used as a baseline or as a benchmark for that is what is going to, again, align back to our goals of having the greatest impact for the employee base, and where are the non-negotiables there? What do we absolutely need to do to ensure that that process is going to result in a good employee experience? And with that, with the tool, with the technology, with the process that we're putting in place, what do we anticipate in terms of risks, in terms of making that change, and how it's going to actually benefit an employee or a team? From there, we can at least have that common understanding and then take that and apply it to a very specific marketing or product or sales enablement workflow and say, this is what we've aligned upon as a company, what we've agreed to be able to have this ultimate benefit. How do you anticipate having this in your workflow? How is this going to change your workflow? And having that open conversation and allowing them to have that dialogue is really key to being able to help with that change management strategy as well. When you get their feedback, when you hear from them directly, we anticipate this is going to potentially change or break things or change a process that we've had in place for a long time. It's then when you can start to tease apart what parts really need to be customized and need to break from that process and where it's simply a change management perspective.
I think that sounds like a great approach. I mean, first of all, I've always found people are willing to change as long as you tell them why you're asking them to change and what benefit there is for them or benefit for the organization. But I also think that people are willing to change when you give them the opportunity to share back with you what's working and what's not. It sounds like you've created a very healthy dialogue within Getty in order to support that. Is that the natural culture? Is this standard how a project is run there?
I will say that I'm very fortunate to be able to lean on a culture that is folk-centered in that. We have a set of core values called our leadership principles. And one of those, the one that enterprise knowledge management leads up into and aligns to most closely, is we are one Getty Images with no silos. And that to me is a common refrain. That is knowledge management, right? It is thinking through how we are going to collaborate effectively and being able to lean back on that and point back to that in those difficult conversations has been really key. And I'm fortunate to have that as a culture to thrive in and to evolve a program in as well.
Fantastic. I mean, the organization obviously has a wonderful history and great reputation, so that doesn't surprise me, but it's also, it's very good to hear it from a true practitioner that that's the truth of it. You mentioned something else really interesting, Christiane. You used these words of presenting the findings visually and creating a narrative around them. And these are two very powerful statements, and I would say keys to success to convince non-KMers that KM needs to be invested in.
Sure. And I think the visual is still evolving and it's still growing. It's an ecosystem of our different tools and technologies and how they communicate to each other or they don't in many cases, how we're syncing information back and forth. In a particular example of a project that we've been working on since I started, looking to see where people are storing information, how they're storing information, what that information architecture looks like. Being able to visually map that out in a process diagram, even in many cases, in a Venn diagram of looking where those conflicts may exist, and then using our imagery internally on our intranet to be able to support whatever findings we're trying to present, to be able to make and professionalize as well the asks that we're making of people, the most that we can do, that I can do as a KM practitioner to tie that back to the ultimately the company's core values and business output, the better.
Excellent. So One Getty, what have you found in your first year? What are the priorities? What are you working on or planning to work on once you get into the actual transformation?
I would say we're getting into that transformation stage now. It's been a long road coming, a lot of cleanup, a lot of content management, a lot of going back and looking to see what we have hiding in corners and where we have files that we maybe shouldn't or that we need to store more effectively. A lot of understanding those priorities and doing that discovery. And really what our priorities are going to be is what's going to have the greatest impact on that employee experience. And what we've found time and time again in having those conversations is our internal search experience is not doing what we expect it to. Our tools are not necessarily always talking to each other the way that we need them to. And we need to kind of tie together and connect those dots so that we is not jumping to and from many different tools throughout the day, being able to have that standardization and that clear understanding of where to go for accurate information.
Excellent. I want to hit on one thing very clearly here. You've been investing in the foundational cleanup of content. There's no sense in improving search or information architecture if you don't have the right content in the right place. And I bet that was a painful process that tends to be pretty time consuming and not very exciting, but so critical. Can you talk to me a little bit about how you did that? What was your process? I'm sure you didn't do it by yourself because you're still sane by all accounts.
Yep. Well, that's ultimately to be determined, right? It's very kind of you to say that. No. I'm really fortunate to work with a cross-functional team internally of stakeholders from technology, from product, from sales enablement, representatives ultimately of their departments and of their workflows. And it's been really a joint effort between myself and that team, but more broadly within the entire organization of identifying points of contact where there were content owners before and where that team no longer maybe has that same lead or that same priority or focus. Going through lists and exports of where we have content stored, what the tool is doing, what our search results look like to try and identify where we can make improvements. And then a lot of outreach, a lot again of, you know, I spoke to this earlier of spending a lot of time talking with people, making sure that they understand those clear goals and that they understand the ask of them, which is ultimately very simply, are you still using this information or can I archive it for you? Do we still need to retain this? Is this going to be critical for you moving forward? And if so, we're going to go here and organize it for you and take care of it so that it's no longer clouding or conflating your search result, providing you with that good search experience.
So that's a huge lift. And it sounds like, based on your last statement, that you were doing some of the heavy lift, or your team was, the fact that you said, hey, we're going to clean this up for you or relocate it. So what's that line between the business and your group? When do you basically pick that up and say, this is good content, or I'm told this is good content, but it's not where it belongs, or it's not in the format, or it's not tagged properly? How do you step into that process?
Sure. I've taken a very clean approach to this, which is ultimately, if I've been using this content for many years, people have not been tagging it appropriately or storing it in a way that we would see and that would align to what we're moving toward, we need to show them and help them get there, which is ultimately a lot of the work is being done by myself or by this team, and being able to show and model for them the good behavior of, this is exactly how we're going to store it moving forward. We've aligned on an information architecture or a structure that will work well for you, right? Always going back to them and making sure that they're bought into it. And then here is the output. This is where you can find the information moving forward. In your current process, this is what we expect in terms of tagging content, storing it, where you should be storing it, et cetera. So there is an offer, especially with a new program as well. It's hard to come in and make that ask of people who maybe have never taken the time or kind of always deprioritize that work. So the more that we can do to help them through that and show them the benefit of it and then encourage them to use that output, the better.
Excellent. It sounds like you basically early on said, here's the new enterprise content governance plan, here's the new information architecture, here's the new tagging scheme, taxonomy, and then you helped these different groups basically make that change and do the cleanup. How did you arrive at those early processes, guidelines, documents, the content governance, the taxonomy? Was all that done internally? Did you engage the business stakeholders in that process? Talk to me about that, because that stuff is so, you get it right and you're going to do okay. You get it wrong and you're going to have a tough road.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I hope we won't have a tough road. I hope we got it right. It was... We're actively moving and we'll try and we'll iterate. And I think that is something that I will say that I really do appreciate about the Getty Images culture is that it is very iterative. It's a lot of trying, a lot of testing, learning from those examples, learning from those failures. Although we haven't, knock on wood, haven't had any yet, although I'm sure they will come. But ultimately, it's really thinking through again, and you've heard me repeat it time and again, but outreaching to those users, outreaching to those employees, being able to understand and glean some of the common issues, pain points, and challenges that they've been having, and then coming internally together to craft those strategies, an archival strategy that will work for our internal documentation, an archival strategy that will work tied into our taxonomy, content management, governance strategy that will allow people to understand easier that the content that they're viewing is accurate and has been vetted. These are all relatively large undertakings and brand new internally for the company. We have to try it and we have to trial it together. And we're really in that trial stage right now.
Got it. You're hitting on, I think, a really critical point here, which is the fact that so many organizations try to get this stuff 100% cooked and then say, here it is, everybody go do it. And it sounds like you're taking a very iterative approach, very methodical, you're engaging your business stakeholders. That's fantastic. Let's talk a little bit about analytics. A lot of times during an early content cleanup initiative, analytics can be your best friend if they're available. Were you lucky enough to have an understanding of what content had been edited or accessed over the last X years?
Absolutely. We went digging and diving and searching for as many analytics as we could pull, but not just for that kind of content management perspective of last modified date and who did that modification, what that version history looks over time, but also, again, tying back into those search results and seeing where we might have some challenges or some difficulties there where we're not getting the results that we want or we're not getting results flat out. We pulled internally, as many data points as we could get, and then tied those together with some of the challenges that were being presented back to us by those employees to be able to say, well, I'm going to X place to look for X type of information, and I simply can't ever seem to find it. I always have to go to someone in another team to be able to help me understand if this information is accurate. I can't trust it. Thus, I'm not using the search result or the search bar functionality in the same way I would expect to. And ultimately, the data points that we pulled confirmed that in many cases that search was not being used as broadly as we had expected, that some of the content results that were coming up were not as great as we had hoped, which is very interesting to be able to look at and at least get that baseline. We can only go up from there.
Perfect. I mean, this is a true combined qual and quant approach to getting the facts and being able to back them up and tell the story. I really love your approach to it. You mentioned search. One of your big initiatives sounds like it will be in the near term, fixing search. And I use that word fixing very specifically because the thing that I hear all the time is search is broken. Make it work like Google. How do we do this? Are you looking at new tech? Are you just cleaning up what you've already got?
Right now, we're focused on the technologies that we have and understanding the search experience in those from an internal communications tool to an intranet tool, to any of our project management software as well, what the search experience looks like in each of those. And then collectively, if we zoom out a little bit, what that information finding experience looks like in each, and then together tied in. At this point, the heaviest focus has been that cleanup, really understanding what we can do in terms of taxonomy. And ultimately, I say that with a smile as well, because for Getty Images as a company, search experience is so critical and so important to our customers externally that I want, perhaps very naively as an enterprise knowledge management program, to be able to offer that same kind of search experience to our internal colleagues and stakeholders and understand and really show the benefit of what things like taxonomy can do to our internal documentation.
Well, I imagine in a way that's actually been an advantage of yours, right? You get to point to your external search and say, here, this is faceted navigation. Look how easy this makes it for our customers. Wouldn't you like to have something like this? Would I be wrong in guessing that's a conversation you've had a few times now?
To push that one step forward as well, very fortunate to be able to have those conversations with the colleagues who are responsible for building that experience, for refining that experience, for fine-tuning it, and to be able to learn from them and also present or brainstorm ideas back with them and say, we've identified a problem internally with our search not being used in the way that we expect it to. What are you seeing externally? Or how can we maybe try and emulate what we're giving to our customers as an external experience internally here?
That does put you in a really interesting place. And too many organizations that I hear from use the old line, the cobbler's children have no shoes, that our externally facing site is super powerful and cool and has all this great capability and wonderful UI UX investments. And it sounds like you've had a wonderful experience getting access to some of that expertise to guide your path. Is that right?
That's correct. And that's part of that tacit knowledge capture as well, and understanding how to collaborate with them. Just being able to come at that conversation from how I as a customer use our site and have this wonderful experience, and I would like to bring that to us internally. How do you do that? What have you learned over time? Where have you documented it? And where is it being stored? And how is it searchable right now for folks to be able to find? But most importantly, how can I try and partner with you on this or emulate this in what we're trying to build out internally?
Wonderful. So you mentioned you're sticking with your existing tech stack for now. Can you share what you're working with and what features you're planning to potentially add to it?
Sure. So we're working with SharePoint for our intranet solution, content management solution right now. We have Slack for internal communications and a couple of different project management tools. Our primary focus has been within SharePoint for the past year at this point, since I started, a year and a half really. And improving that experience, cleaning up those sites, making sure that the content is organized in a way that's easy to find. And what we've been doing as well is building out a number of internal features to help us with things like process tagging and governance of information management workflows. And we're just about actually to debut our information management rollout, which is a really neat feature that allows people to archive and unarchive content with a single click, to be able to see the status of content, to be able to see where it's stored and who is the content owner for it, when it was last modified, really just trying to simplify that user experience so that there is incentive and frictionless initiative to be able to keep that information up to date.
That's great. I mean, Christiane, you're actually bleeding into records management there with some of those fields. And again, I think this is really important to note. We've used the term information management here, knowledge management, records management. If you're doing it right, you're kind of doing all the things that somebody asks for, regardless of what moniker it might fall under. So it's interesting to hear, and I'm glad to hear it. You mentioned integration. If you're using SharePoint Native Search, that can be a little tricky. Connecting to other systems and other applications tends to be where some organizations struggle. Is that maybe a phase two?
That's definitely a phase two at this point of thinking through, you know, how we're creating that federated search experience within SharePoint already, just making sure that the search experience works better and then creating that comprehensive overview of tying together different pieces. So at some point we may go out and we may look to see what other tech companies are doing, what other processes or products are out there. But right now we're sticking with the stack that we have.
Nice. And have you stood up faceted navigation within your search?
We have indeed. We have a very light version of it, I will say. We're going to demo with that over the course of the year as we've come out of this large cleanup. All of these efforts, making sure that people are feeling comfortable as well using that search functionality, and then providing out different features and different experiences for them.
It is one of the most powerful changes that you can make. Our studies have found that less than 5% of searchers will ever click to the second page of search results, but those same searchers are more than happy to apply facets to limit down their search results to make the right thing show up on page one. It sounds like you've made the right investment in the right feature that should ideally yield some pretty significant results for you. When do you get to start showing those results or testing them? When do you get to start celebrating?
We can already celebrate. There's such a milestone, if I do say so myself.
Good. Up the champagne. Let's do it right now.
Absolutely. No, it's, I say that in a very contrived manner, but ultimately, you know, we're monitoring and we're reviewing those search results, but we're also going back to the basics and making sure that we have training available to people to how to search in this tool, that is accessible to folks who are brand new to the company, who maybe have never used SharePoint before, or folks who have been at the company for a long time. So being able to report out on those findings is something that we're continuously doing, hoping that we'll get to the end of it. And that major milestone celebration will be, I use search and it makes my workday better. And along the way, we'll hit other findings as well that may be cause for celebration. We shall
indeed. See. Yeah, I love those celebratable moments. And the more you can, speaking previously of analytics, the more you can tie it back to X number of search results are resulting in a document being opened, or search ratios improving, or I don't know if you're running any surveys, but our people are actually happier with search. These are all wonderful things to report and celebrate. Christiane, you mentioned communities of practice very early on in your definition. Is that also a space that you're beginning to play with?
Yes, it is. So we have our first two official communities of practice, what we're calling guilds internally, one for project managers and one for information professionals, unsurprisingly, run by yours truly, championed by yours truly, and with many more that are set to come. And that really leads back and ties back into how important the culture is to the inception of and the alignment to enterprise knowledge management, because there is a great want. Not everyone in this project manager's guild is in a project management role or has had experience in it before, but they've really taken to, we have upwards of 100 plus members at this point, taken to those informal learnings, the ask me anythings, the opportunities to be able to mentor from or mentor with another stakeholder, another SME. It's worked really well thus far, and it's still relatively nascent. We're in just about the 2-3 month mark of that program being up and running, and that framework of how is this bringing value to the company is something that we'll be developing and refining this year.
Wonderful. Now you're talking about another bleeding line of KM, because now you're talking about KM and learning, which to me is one of the most exciting touch points and something we've just heard and seen a lot of post-COVID. So how are you collaborating with Getty's Human Resources Group or Learning and Performance Group? How's that work?
We have a culture and development team, and I'm very fortunate to say I have a number of members of that team, both on the direct cross-functional team that I work with, as well as on our advisory and steering groups. they have really a dotted line tie-in to everything that we're doing, be it training and developing different learning management system guides or going forward and promoting what is being done within the Enterprise Knowledge Management Program, feeding new hires into our CAM resources. There is a very close bond within our two teams and something that's ultimately really critical and ties back into the importance of the general spirit of learning and collaboration in the culture.
Wonderful. You said all of my favorite words there. I mean, when you consider a really healthy organization, it's one that values learning and values knowledge. And the closer those two things can be together, frankly, the happier the employees are within the organization. That becomes a really, really wonderful self-feeding beast, where happy employees tend to be really good at mentoring and sharing information and capturing knowledge in ways that it can be used by others because they care about their organization, they care about their colleagues. And that's fantastic. It sounds like some of that was there when you got there. You've been there at Getty about a year, but what have you done from that culture perspective to really drive that, to reinforce it, to shine a light on that good behavior?
Development of these communities of practice of the skilled network has been one very small part of it. Being able to showcase ultimately how some of the departmental resources or team resources are being used and how that can be used as a kickoff point for collaboration as well has been key of coming at and approaching at the resource development from the perspective of how is this going to bring benefit and value to your stakeholder outreach and engagement with other teams. Many teams haven't had that thought process before or that perspective of I serve internal customers or what I do has some kind of benefit to them and I want to showcase and highlight that and tell people how to get in touch with me. Growing that culture and that habit of thinking through how teams are interacting with each other and how that can then spin off into other collaboration opportunities. I think those two things have been key in those initial conversations.
Excellent. So let's go back a year. How did the organization come to realize that they needed somebody leading KM? And how did that cross-functional team you mentioned come to be created?
So it was really kind of at the leadership level of the company, an acknowledgement of and alignment to the fact that people need accurate information to be able to do their jobs. And ultimately, that was really what started and became the genesis for the development of this cross-functional team who I now work with and the hiring of full-time knowledge manager myself. They were getting this feedback at the leadership level that search wasn't working well, that people weren't able to find good information, that they weren't always sure that that information was up to date. And coming at that from the approach of, well, is this a technology issue? Is this a people issue? Is this a process issue? Maybe it's a little bit of all of the above. And to find for and solve that, to try to turn that around and make for a better experience, will align to and really support the development on the creation of Enterprise Knowledge Management, which led to where we are today.
Fantastic. Now, where do you sit within the organization? Where does your line go?
So I sit under the VP of PR and comms. So I'm actually in the marketing department.
Interesting. We see that one a fair bit, but that wasn't what I was expecting, given really, it sounds like the far-reaching role that you're playing within the organization. Plans to grow your team? Or are you going to be, okay, great.
Yep, absolutely. Yes, wholeheartedly. Yes, exclamation point. Ultimately, yes. You know, as we expand, as we grow this program, as we think through the future of enterprise knowledge management at the company, we've been fortunate thus far. Last year, we were able to have an internship, someone who had recently graduated from a master's in library and information science program, hoping to continue that and hoping to grow as well the team so that we can do all of the many things and continue to do all of the many things that we just spoke to, wide-reaching knowledge management efforts across the company.
That MLIS grad didn't happen to be from Simmons, did they?
They did, indeed.
Aha!
Yes.
Nepotism at its finest.
No!
Christian, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background and how you've really made your career?
Sure. So I started my career really as the tried and true traditional librarian, sitting behind the reference desk and shushing you. I have indeed my master's in library and information science from Simmons, but I really started in developing collections and managing libraries for the Alliance Française Network in the United States. So promoting French culture and French literature here in the US, managing libraries for that in Boston and Washington, D.C., and really thought I would always be sitting at a circulation desk or a reference desk or doing story time and fell into tech. Fell into program management at tech, and after a couple of years of doing that, really wanted to be able to find a field and an opportunity to marry together all of the things that I loved about library science, all of the things that I had just acquired in terms of tech skills, found being a digital librarian, a business librarian, and now the manager of knowledge management to be a wonderful fusion between those two points.
Yeah, that's a really deliberate path, which is unlike a lot of our guests who say kind of fell into it, just kind of filled a gap. But I love that story, and I love the description of it too, that purposeful combination of all your skills from library to tech and business as well. I mean, based on what you're telling me, it's very clear that you know how to talk to business, which is a rare and important skill for KMers.
I think it's really valuable. And I think also, since there aren't very many knowledge management roles in organizations, we don't have, maybe one day we will, but a knowledge management professional in every single organization, the more that we can do to speak to the benefits and get people attuned to it, the better.
It sounds like you're doing a great job of that. What advice would you give to somebody who wants to be you?
I would say run in the other direction. Please edit that out. What a question. What a question.
Man, I love that.
What advice I would give to someone who wants to start in the field of knowledge management, I really would say just try new things. And that's a very right way of saying it, but ultimately it's true. Whether it's immersing yourself in a new technology, growing from a mentoring relationship with someone already in the field, raising your hand and saying, hey, I'd like to learn more about how to develop a community practice, or maybe I want to just be involved in one to start, to be able to get a sense as well of the many different things that we just spoke to that really encompass knowledge management, or maybe some things that people like and that people don't like, or that they really are attracted to. The more that you can do to be able to get a sense of the parts of KM that you align to and that speak to you and that you're passionate about, the earlier in your career you can do that, figure that out, or at least grow that understanding, the better.
How about resources, conferences, books, blogs? Where do you go to get smart on KM?
Sure. So I was really fortunate actually to be able to attend KM World last November in DC. That was my first KM conference experience. And I thought it was really engaging to be able to not just meet with colleagues face-to-face and in person, which is a rare occurrence these days working from home. We can't speak enough to those benefits, but also to be able to see, you know, what products are out there, what lessons learned have been throughout the community. So I would really encourage people to, if they're trying out or new to KM or develop KM practice or program at a company, KM World was a great opportunity for me to learn more. I obviously have to put in a plug, right, for Enterprise Knowledge and all of the resources that are there. In particular, I think the recent article about 2023 KM trends is really interesting to be able to see pair where we are at Getty Images and in this program that we're developing to some of the things and some of the experiences that we're hearing from our colleagues that they want to be able to have that personalized KM experience. They want to be able to have information pushed to them and not have to go and search for it. So seeing how we're fitting into that broader narrative of knowledge management right now in 2023, those are two resources that I'd cite.
Love it. And thank you for that, by the way. Perfect segue again. What is most exciting to you about what's coming in KM? What's your favorite trend?
I think that it really is that personalization, that aspect of thinking through, you know, especially in this program and in this role at a global company, how we're going to be able to tailor and fit resources and align people to resources or connect people with resources that most benefit them. Previously, we hadn't been doing a lot of tailoring or being able to tailor down those search experiences to a particular region, a particular role, a particular team, engagement with particular types of resources, and thinking through putting that in place. It sounds like such a simple user experience. There's so much that goes into it on the back end to be able to make that happen and work really well. That's something that I'm looking forward to developing this year.
Totally agree. And it really is that combination of pushing rather than asking somebody to pull, combined with a better understanding of who they are, so you're pushing the right stuff. I mean, you don't need to go and build a fancy identity graph to know some basics about what somebody needs. And once you start chipping away on that, you can really build over time. Very, very exciting to see how organizations are beginning to deliver the right knowledge at the point of need to their consumers. So, Christiane, what's that one thing that an organization's got to do to be successful in knowledge management?
The one thing that I would say is clear and crisp alignment to having a program that is aligned to the company's goals. For me, as I said, that relates to our leadership principle of being one Getty Images with no silos. The fact that that is a core value for the program, something that we can baseline all of our activities off of in terms of that impact, having that alignment and having that support from leadership have been really key.
Excellent. Well, it sounds like you're doing a ton of things right. Christiane Beasley, Principal of Knowledge Management at Getty Images, good luck. Thank you for sharing your own thought leadership, and we look forward to hearing more from you.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
To our listeners, thank you for joining us for this episode of KnowledgeCast. To check out more information on KM, visit our website at enterprise-knowledge.com. Have a great day, y'all.